When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports this season. From Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and the NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the odds and lines on everything, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
One of those things that I just realized too, while I was playing a music bed earlier and I really liked it, and all of a sudden I was like, oh crap, there's 2 minutes before the show starts. I should get everything loaded up together. So what happens when you listen to something real quick and you're realizing that you look at the clips going, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I should update these clips. But anyways, that's just a video in my head. Welcome to another episode of the Tigers Minor League Report Recap Week 9. So we're recapping all affiliates and the Tigers as well, because the Tigers did play a offensive slugfest on Sunday, which was something that caught us all surprised. I'm Rogelio Castillo, alongside is Chris Brown and Brandon Day. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thank you for everybody who has subscribed to our YouTube channels. Our numbers are up, and our Rainer Castillo video is up, catching his first single-A start on Sunday. Was that Sunday?
Yeah, Chris? I believe. Okay. Saturday, I think.
Was it Saturday? Okay. I don't know. I felt like it was Sunday.
I don't think they don't play. Oh, wait. No. You're right. It was Sunday. I was confused because the Complex League doesn't play on Sundays, but he was in A-ball, not Complex League.
Yeah. And a pretty decent outing, too. Hit 98 a couple times. So I get some more swings and misses towards the latter part of the start. And we're going to kind of do a new form a little bit so we can make things a little smoother. As the questions come up, of course, if you have a super chat question, we'll answer that relatively quickly. But we'll try to put in the questions towards the end of our statements a little bit, so that way it just flows a little easier. We can get through things quicker. And yeah, so as the questions come up on chat. So We did get a couple questions this evening, some Matt Manning bandwagon questions that Brandon received. And we also, I want to give a couple compliments to, we had a couple of nice comments last week on the show. So thank you for a couple people, Matthew Wood, who's a longtime listener, who's listened to every single incarnation of Chris's and I's show. So going back since 2016 now. So
And we have a long time listener. Pre-SRD days?
Yeah. Pre-MCB.
Oh, yeah. Days.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely a throwback there. So, but yeah, so Sunday's game was the equivalency of just pure madness. Toronto fans were losing their minds a little bit. The Blue Jays are basically at the point where I think they're trying to say tear it down a little bit. And there's an account that somebody posted this account, and I wish that we could, something that we have thought about doing for a while, maybe watching games and having like live commentary while watching the game. I think it'd be kind of cool, but it's also very involved. Yeah. But it was something I saw and I thoroughly enjoyed, and I think you'll get a kick out of this too. So if you talk about people that live by the pitch and every single pitch, and Tiger fans are just the same, wait till you meet these guys. And I'm not sure if Yeah, go ahead,
Chris. They were exactly right too. They're like, "Don't hang the slider. Don't hang the slider." And he's like, "Whoop."
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Oh no.
Without further ado, let's see if you guys can hear this.
Please, for the love of God, put a fastball upstairs. For the love
of God, don't hang the slider in there.
Don't even throw the effing slider. Fastball upstairs.
Yeah, not wrong, bro.
He's looking over the heart of the plate.
Yeah.
And you do it again. Yeah. Yo, you're shitting.
Ball
you're
game.
Fucking shitting
That's
me.
The game. Oh my God.
We lost. This team.
We lost.
How does this team lose?
We are allergic to winning.
Yeah. Find ways to lose I've never seen before. Time to blow it up.
This is the part I don't get. What's going on here?
Here we go.
What's going on now?
Oh, yeah. Blow it all up, everybody.
11 runs. We scored 11 today.
But it's the Toronto Blue Clouds.
Romano.
This whole team, it's the whole pitching staff. It's the whole pitching staff. This is a joke.
How do you even come back from this?
You can't. Honestly, you fire John Schneider tomorrow. I don't even care, man. It's not even like his fault. It's the pitching staff. You just gotta do something.
Oh man. Ah yes. Stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
The Riley Green truther. I don't know his who found that.
Yeah. Yeah. Will. Yeah.
No.
Props to him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. you know, we've all been there, and you know what the thing is, the tenor is completely different, right? Because the pitching, the Tigers pitching was garbage all game, and you could tell from the beginning when Casey Mize after the first inning couldn't get anybody out, couldn't get any swings and misses. It was like 8-pitch, 9-pitch at bats, hard hit contact every time. And we're like, oh, you got to get them out of there. But it didn't matter because no matter who they put in, they were just giving up shots left and right. And it was, but it's a good testament too. They're like, you know what? Winning with bad pitching is a lot more fun than losing with bad hitting.
Yeah. You can't spell a fan without crazy person, right? So,
yeah. Oh, you can't. Yeah, he can't spell. Fanatic. Yeah,
we needed Mason Englert to come rescue us. So that tells you about where we were at. I mean, Tyler Holton and Jason Foley both just getting bombed on. We've never seen either one of them give up home runs like this. Obviously, Holton's only been here a year, but neither one of them is going real well. I tried to write an article this weekend about options for the Tigers bullpen, and it turned into like a 2-paragraph little like, "Hey, we're fucked."
Yeah, no, I had Tiger Mike on Twitter send me a text. He's like, "Do you have any options down Toledo?" I said, "No." I mean, if you want to make Brent Hurdler, and it was I used Chris's slider, 50% swing rate of a slider as an idea out of the bullpen, which isn't a bad idea, but I thought about it. Like, I just used that stat. I'm like, well, unless he's throwing a slider the whole time. And I said that where you got that stat from. And by the way, if anybody wants to know where the sweet hat that this anonymous gentleman who I don't know at all personally in the chat, want to know where you got this hat from, you go to the Seawolves minor league store right here and you can buy this fake throwback box. How do you say that correctly?
Throwback.
Hat,
bit of a ringer in the chat. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah, I don't know who that guy is. I guess he's a broadcaster of some sort. I'm not sure who he is, but
he had a fun week.
Yeah, he had a fun. Oh yeah, he had a fun week. Oh yeah, against Altoona. Oh, yeah. I was there Friday, and we'll talk about. When we get there, we'll talk about. Actually, I saw a couple things in here that were actually encouraging. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. There's some Trey Crew stuff, but the rest of. Yeah. Anyway. We'll get to that a little later, but the biggest thing that I took away too was from Sunday's game was that Kerry Carpenter has established, like, we haven't really talked about this a lot, if not often enough, but Kerry Carpenter is legitimately the Tigers' most successful minor league story in quite some time. Yeah. And he's a 19th round draft pick. That is something that whether you want to give the credit to him seeing a swing coach or whatever the case is, he's also becoming a top 5 outfielder. His numbers, his defensive metrics are really good. And I think Tiger fans, I mean, everybody, you know, call him Kerry Bonds, what have you, but maybe it's just me. It just seems like he's going about it quietly, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's still getting, you know, kind of platooned a little bit, which is, you know, now really starting to infuriate people. And I kind of feel like it's like we're kind of at a point where you're going to see AJ Hinch start to dial back on that. Like, you know, all the last three seasons we've seen AJ Hinch just play like, you know, Jenga with the lineup the first couple months of the season and then start to kind of settle into, you know, all right, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, he's been trying to use Carpenter to get his lefty mashers in there and stuff, but just leave Carpenter alone at this point. You know, there's got to be somebody better to pinch hit for because every time he comes in, he's doing damage. And of course, some of that damage is because he's being used the way he is. You know, we do have to keep that in mind. But I think now that you see his defense getting a lot better and him just kind of looking like a more solid player overall, you might as well just let him run.
Yeah, I've been tempted over the last couple of years to compare him to Matt Joyce as kind of just like he's just going to be death on right-handed pitching and hit a bunch of bombs. But yeah, I think he's so far, he's been a better hitter than Joyce was, at least early in his career. And I think Joyce had a pretty nice peak there, but he was pretty much just a platoon guy his whole career. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I don't know how much more he has to prove, really. Honestly, like, you know, I guess it is just, you know, trying to keep everybody in the right position to take advantage of whenever they can. But yeah, I mean, he had a slump early, but he came back. And when he's hitting, it's tons of damage. And that's mm-hmm. what they need. So, yeah, they should be playing him all the time.
Yeah. Seems like everything he hits is hard in the air somewhere. So, yeah, you know, and they need the help. Although, I look through this offense and I just keep thinking, like, if Spencer Torkelson was just having a solid year, this offense would be reasonably good. Be, like, not bad at all. They're not hitting left-handers, you know, other than Andy Ibanez. And teams are matching up against them that way. And, you know, they haven't had that much of a good answer. But, you know, they're not that far from being a pretty solid, you know, team overall. And it's really the bullpen that has just gone completely into the toilet this year. And, you know, maybe that was somewhat foreseeable because they didn't, you know, they kind of stuck with their guys. And if you just keep hanging out with the same relievers year after year, eventually it's going to go bad for you. You know, none of these guys is elite. They did do a few things to get Chapin and Miller in there. But neither one of them was going to be like a, you know, some kind of bona fide closer type dude. So they've got a lot of depth, but they've also got a lot of problems right now. And, you know, they're going to have to solve them internally. You know, we saw Tyler Holton pitch really well last year. There's a couple other guys, too. Chris Fetter's just going to have to do some magic and get these guys sorted out. Because, yeah, as we've said, there's just not much at Toledo until you get down to, you know, starting to convert Manning or convert Montero or Madden or Herter. You know, Andrew Magno's looked pretty good so far here and there, but he's had some blowups. And Freddie Pacheco is, you know, probably their best pure relief prospect now. And he's, you know, he's still not going to be back for, you know, probably 2 months. And we have to see how that goes. He was wild when he left. Tyler Madison blew his elbow out. They traded, who'd they trade for Canna?
Blake Holub.
Blake Holub. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, yeah, they're kind of running low on options right now.
Yeah. And Flores is injured right now. And even Flores is not even necessarily an answer.
Yeah. It was a shoulder issue.
Yeah. AC joint. Ooh. Yep. Yeah. Sounds like he's throwing again, so yeah. Maybe it wasn't that bad, but yeah,
it's been a weird year of shoulder injuries in the system. Evan had that big long list of all the injuries he tweeted out the other day, and it's like, man, shoulder, like, what's going on?
They stabilize the elbows and then it just spread. Yeah
I mean, even like if you're thinking about, even for example, there's somebody who comments every time we post anything about Ty Madden, just totally rips him apart. I don't know who this person is, but it's every single time, it's it, whether on YouTube or Twitter, it is the same thing. Like, Madden sucks. It's like,
some
man,
college,
like the,
some college yes, rival.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, it sounds like visceral, to it, but, no, I think there's something to be said that even a possibility of even converting someone like Ty Madden at this point, if desperation reeks of that, but,
well, you feel like, you know, we've seen Ronaldo Lopez, we've seen Michael King, we've seen a couple really good relievers get converted back to starting, Jordan Hicks, and do well so far. So, I mean, you can kind of take that as a hint that it's okay to convert them and use them that way to introduce them to the major leagues. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not like they're all going to end up being starting pitchers for the Tigers anyway. So they might have to go that way. I'm sure they don't really want to do that right now. But, you know, who else has the stuff? You know, Keiter Montero has good enough stuff. Madden and Herter have enough stuff to get guys out at the major league level in kind of a limited role and capacity. So they might have to do something like that. But yeah, I don't think they're going to rush into it either. Miller's back rehabbing this week, so I guess hydro dissection of the ulnar nerve is not that big of a deal. It just sounds like it is.
That's just, yeah, they just used a water pick on his elbow.
Yeah, yeah, they just blast some water in there and you're Gucci.
So. You see,
sounds like some sort of like, it sounds like some sort of dental procedure. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. You see that Greg's comment here, and I just checked it up, and it's confirmed Angel Hernandez is retiring.
Oh,
he has reached a settlement with Major League Baseball and is out of there.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean,
that's really good. If they could just cut down on like the three or four worst umpires, you'd be in pretty good shape. You know, the more I watch minor league ball, the more I appreciate the major league guys, except for the worst.
Yeah. There's a couple guys in Double A this year that has been terrible. Like just watching some of the Double A games.
Yeah,
that have been just something. Yeah, there's some calls and I feel sorry for Greg during a game where he's sitting there like just all right, the strike, and it's not really it, you know, but like
this is the White Langford strikes out without ever seeing a strike. Is that
yeah. Unreal. Yeah. Unreal. I could do that. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? CB Buckner needs to go, by the way. CB Buckner. CB's next. Yeah, that guy's horrible. So
yeah. He is pretty bad.
Yeah, there's wow. There go. Right, no more Benny Hill music there, but yeah, so that is breaking
Enrico Palazzo calls.
Yeah. So no more of that nonsense. But yeah. Expecting that. Well, I guess he came to a settlement agreement, so good. It makes other Cubans look bad. So he does. I mean, he's Cuban. And
We only see blue with him.
Oh, man, we can go off the rails real fast now if we want.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. But no, as far as like there's so a possible solution to all this too. So apparently he's a really nice guy. And that's probably the case is that, yeah, you always hear that like, oh yeah, he's, you know, he sucks his job, but he's a really nice guy. So, but,
tough break. No,
there was an interesting article that came out on, I believe it's Birds Watcher, which is the fan sided site for the Orioles. And they came up with a trade scenario that I'm really kind of, gay. I don't really, as my dad would say, gay. I'm not really entirely sure with this. And so it is a going in on all, you know, going in and to get the World Series in 2024. And this, the gentleman's name is by Tim Smart. And as a fellow fan side writer, I get, you gotta write for clicks. I get it. It's fine. Content. Maybe depends. But legitimate like baseball content where you know possible scenarios. Maybe I might be foolish on this, but he made a suggestion. He said, let's go ahead and rip this Band-Aid off. The Orioles should trade Jackson Holliday. I know what you're thinking. That's fine. But let's walk through it. The team won the AL East for the first time since 2014 and just the second time since 1997. It goes on and says the Orioles window of contention is as open as it ever will be and shouldn't wait till midsummer to bolster the roster. Think about Jackson Holliday as well. He's an elite prospect. He's not helping Orioles win right now. And so he goes on saying, and Gunnar Henderson's a budding superstar. He's oblivion in the league right now and goes in all his numbers and everything. So his idea is that subset of players who make sense of a trade like this. At least just one out there, and the Orioles should strongly consider it. And that would be one, Derek School for this, for Jackson Holliday. And or he goes, maybe the Orioles have to send Cade Popovich or Enrique Bradford along with Holliday to get the deal done. You know, no. You give me everybody.
Yeah,
you give me four or five players.
Now give me your Povich, give me your Bradfield, give me your Norbies.
Give me Norbies. Yeah. Give me Kamanobi. Get the hell out of here. One-on-one trade. All right. If you're going to make a trade scenario, at least make it somewhat palpable. A few years ago, I got some crap about my Tyler O'Neill idea. Didn't look that bad now. I mean, and I also made it somewhat palpable. Kobe Mayo. Yeah. Ask for everybody. ask. But come on. Come on. I get why he's doing this. We're talking about it right now. So he, mission well done.
Yep.
But come on.
This has been brought up in my in a couple of threads on Bless You Boys as well. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll trade Tarkskogle for Jackson Holliday right now, like that, like immediate, instant. But Mike Elias is not in the business of like giving away elite prospects just for this year. Their pitching staff isn't that bad. They're winning. They don't need the help that badly. So, I mean, it's nice to like think about that. I think we probably would have to send a little more, actually, you know, to be honest. I mean, Scooble's great and everything, but they're not desperate enough. So if we wanted to convince them, yeah, you'd probably have to, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what you'd have to throw in, but a fair bit more to convince them to do that, because it's just not going to happen. I'd love to think about it. If people want to think about trading for a shortstop, though, Bo Bichette is starting to make a lot more, like, feasible kind of sense of, if anything. But,
yeah.
I mean, hey, if you can get him, I'm all about it. And then you just sign Roki Sasaki, add him to the rotation with Job, and then you get JV back, and then you sign JD Martinez to DH next year, and then we just rock, baby. Yeah. Yeah, the Orioles didn't get where they got by trading elite hitters at elite, you know, the toughest defensive positions for, you know, it's not short-term help. I mean, Tarik Skubal might be the best pitcher in baseball for the next 3 years, for all I know, but I wouldn't be shocked. But, you know, it's also a pitcher, and he's had Tommy John surgery and elbow flexor surgery, and he's pumping 99, 100. So yeah, you know, I'm not opposed to trading Tarik Skubal. You're just not going to get that though. Would love to.
Yeah. Sean with the, if we get Roki, yeah, there's a Chris Brown pun alert there, but, no, if you're making a trade offer, make it a little more realistic is my point. Like I don't mind if they traded Tarik Skubal, if that's the route they wanted to go, provided that they get a return. And the only thing that I'm concerned with is what Scott Harris can do with that for 2 years of control. And then in exchange, you get a player like potentially, but I don't know, like, you know, you're here's the reason why Bichette sounds good to me too. Bichette was a pain in the ass all weekend against the Tigers. It just, he hit timely hits, and he's just a guy who defensively has good range too. I mean, again, but that's also, Javi Baez ain't going nowhere, so unless they make his contract, you know, disappear. But it's not, like, I don't know, like, as much as I like to, the older I get, the more I do this, the more I try to stay away from those kind of pie in the sky kind of ideas, which is,
yeah,
it's just because, like, I just know this front office is just tends to be, has been so far, like, flavor of yogurt so far has been plain.
It's really hard to imagine them having the balls to make that trade, even though that trade is obvious. But a trade of that scale, they just don't, you know. And I mean, I don't want to dog them, like, oh, they're scared of a big trade, but right now they're just still like, yeah, we don't 100% believe in this team. I mean, that's the message they've sent, I think, to me, you know, to me and to the fan base over the last offseason. We're not going to go crazy. We're going to see how the young guys develop this year, try to get, you know, into contention at least, and see maybe how things look. But they want to know what they have a little bit more. They're not going to be that aggressive. I think that trade would be a no-brainer, but, you know, yeah, I don't know if we can push them into something else. There are ways to solve the shortstop problem because it's so bad that wouldn't even require that much if they actually just want to solve it. You know, if you just want to get a 90 WRC guy who can, you know, play average shortstop, you know, it's not cheap, but it's not like unfindable or going to cost you a ton necessarily either. But yeah, but solutions like that might be more reasonable than hoping for the super big trade. I just don't see them doing that.
I don't know about you, Chris, but I mean, as far as like what we saw with Ryan Kreidler and Eddie Leonard this week, I mean, I know there's no end in sight, or, you know, there's no, in terms of eternal solutions, those are the ones that are coming up right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll see those guys before we see any sort of trade, for one. And they're at least another week rehabbing, maybe still down in Lakeland, or they may get sent back up to Toledo, but yeah, they're both just coming back from kind of long-term injuries. Fans will make that deal all the time, right? Yeah, let's just trade Scooble for Holiday. Sounds good. The GMs don't work that way. They've got it, like, you know, everything. Like, people talk about, you know, Holiday, you'd have him for 6 years, Scooble's 2.5 years. There's some question about if Holiday can actually play the left side of the infield. His arm is the one thing, that the tool that's maybe not average, so he might be a second baseman, which you know, that's fine, I guess, if he's going to be as good offensively as we think, but it might not be your answer at shortstop. So I don't know. It's fun to think about that, but I don't think the Tigers or the Orioles would ever have a serious conversation like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, both are very, Michael Elias has been very conservative, but I mean, outside the trade, they traded Ortiz because they really had no other choice to, and they were kind of forced to a little bit, but they have
so many of those guys who are like, yeah, right, you know, back at the top 100 that they can just deal for whatever they need. You know, they're going to keep Holiday. They're probably going to keep Mayo or, you know, and Couser, and they've still got Herstad and, you know, a couple other guys they could deal. So yeah, they just don't need to do it. They have no need to push that crazily hard.
And that was a trade where they got Burns, right? Who was, has a longer track record than Skubal, honestly, of being an elite pitcher. And they got him with one year left for much cheaper. And they may be content to do something like that in a couple of years rather than, you know, spending it all right now. So
yeah,
I don't know. Fun to think about, fun to talk about. I don't see it happening.
Yeah. As much as, it's one of those things where it is one of those. And I mean, the one thing that does help, and Sean mentions it here, that Michael Elias does have an owner that wants to win. So now that the Angelos family is gone, you don't have to worry about Cheapskate McGee over there. Then that does help. And that gives, and that's dangerous for Baltimore, because if it's anything like there was, if it's Baltimore's producing the same kind of talent they did from the mid 60s all the way up till 86, 87. I mean, you're talking about a run there where they won a couple World Series. They were consistently one of the best teams in the American League year in, year out, pitching galore. They developed. I mean, they had Cy Young Award winners. They had MVPs. I mean, this is, if you're talking about old school Baltimore baseball, this is, if with the owner like the way they have it now, that could be a potential down the line. Because the way they're developing right now. And that's a scary thought, considering that the way they've been drafting, the way they've been producing talent, better than any organization. You know, you look at Houston now. I mean, Houston's struggling with a little bit right now, but Baltimore's starting to get it everywhere. And even they're going international, which is something they have not done until recently. So on the international side of things, now they're actually, you know, it is a very fascinating evolution within the last 5 years of this franchise to look out for.
And obviously they came from Houston. I mean, they were the biggest part of turning Houston into the juggernaut that they became. And I think Houston is probably back down to more like an above average front office and an analytics group and player development staff now. Like, they're still good, but you know, a lot of the top talent left. You know, that's just what happens when you get to that point, and it's in Baltimore. And so that's who you need to be looking out for, because they're going to be really tough. But if the Tigers themselves are in the position to like trade prospects for needs, not so much to trade Tarik Skubal. If you trade Tarik Skubal, you're kind of saying like, well, we're punting on next year too. You know, and at that point, I don't know, then you might as well almost start tearing it down. Like, we trade Reese Olson, you know, what do you, you know, can you sign Riley Green to a long-term deal? Cause if not, I just don't think we're going this route. I think they're going to try to find low cost plug in and play type of help that isn't going to be real impactful. And if Spencer Torkelson or Jace Jung doesn't join the band and start wrecking shop, then this offseason we have to, you know, look into some kind of serious retooling of the offense too. But they're going to give those guys time and try to understand fully what they've got there before I think anything major happens.
If I'm Baltimore, I'm doing everything I can to get Gunnar Henderson to sign the Bobby Witt contract, right? Like, he signed that guy for 15 years.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Really good.
But again, that was something that Houston, well, I guess they kind of did that with Altuve, didn't they? But I don't think they extended anybody other than him.
Not Springer, no Correa.
Yeah. So, but still, yeah, he might be the one. Go ahead and do it. He's not even 23 yet. He's got like 4 wins already. He's good. So,
yeah. Might as well. I mean, he's the future of your franchise right there. But, no, at any rate, enough about Baltimore. Let's get back with the Tigers a little bit. But the Tigers this week take on the streaking Pirates a little bit. The Pirates have been playing better as of late. They have probably one of the best, arguably, we're missing the chance for Tarik Skubal and Paul Skeens. So we'll get that Wednesday for, I think we're going to that game Wednesday. I think we're going to that game Wednesday. It'll be Skeens against Jack Flaherty tomorrow, but we still, I mean, Pittsburgh has Jared Jones, who's been pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So they, I mean, the Tigers don't have an easy break this week. I know that we always joked around the Tigers of trying to force a rivalry with the Pirates, and Thursday's matchup is just, it's weird. The two game series, and then they head off to Boston. Yeah. So I don't understand. I wish we could have a little more with the Pirates, but either way, it is what it is. But the next two games should be a challenge for the Tigers offensively as well.
I'm hoping they get to play them. It looks like there's rain in the forecast both days. So, I who knows? But
looks particularly bad tomorrow. Yeah. Which would be
a Wednesday doubleheader with Jones and Skeens.
seven inning games? No, I don't know. Yeah.
Better than, just say the last weather around here, too, has been just windy and unseasonably or just been cold. So, one thing
the Tigers might be better off to miss both of them, to be honest. If that's the way it goes, it might be better off. So
two Tigers did make the prospect team of the week from last week was Trey Cruz, who went 12 for 21 in six games for Erie. We'll get to them as a little bit, like I mentioned earlier. He had a really, I was there Friday and and Roberto Campos, who went 11 for 22 with 11 RBIs in six games for West Michigan. I'm pretty sure they use one of our clips too on their TikTok and or on their short stories. Hey. So, but they had against Parker Messick, who also, I mean, he looked really good. Another Cleveland pitching prospect that's just going to develop into probably a beast. So that was good news for the Tigers out there. And this is what I saw Friday. Trey Cruz hitting the ball extremely hard, had really good. He had a pair of hits, strong contact. He's been walking more, striking out less. And yeah, that's a good thing to have. Ben Malgeri Chris Myers had a couple hits too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what it is with Altoona. I just don't get it. Greg was, let's just say, frustrated.
He came in there with like there were what, like 12 and 30 on the year, something like that.
Yeah.
And then just out here bombing home runs left and right. And I think Erie hitting did we find the correct number for how they hit to like a dozen double plays during the week? Something ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh wow.
It was it was a dumb series. Dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb.
But they did win the final game. So that was nice.
Yeah. But like I said, with the Tigers' upcoming series against the Pirates in Boston, it's not going to get. Boston has one of the best ERAs in the American League.
Which was
unexpected. Very unexpected.
Yeah, pretty much out of nowhere. Didn't really see that
much. Cutter Crawford.
Yeah.
13 double plays. 13 double plays.
In six games.
Yeah. Wow. That was. That was terrible. I was gonna try to use this
off the Frickers building.
Just how absurd that was. Just absurd. 13 double plays.
Jeez.
Yeah. I'm sure Gabe Alvarez somewhere was smiling. It was a good crowd though. Friday was a very good crowd. It was teachers' night and a very good walk-up crowd. There was a line I was walking in. And the traffic downtown here was a little crazy, which I wasn't used to, and got down there, and it was a really good, really good turnout on Friday and the fireworks and all that. So, but it was just a situation where Chris goes, "Let's see Austin Bergner pitch." And I was like, well, I mean, I was trying to confirm some notes. I was doing a confirm some notes on Gage Workman, but also Trey Cruz, because I've been noticing his footwork similar to Workman with his feet. And so I just want to see, I know in June we're spending a lot of time in West Michigan because the Whitecaps, we are due to go to Whitecaps games. They play Great Lakes this week and we'll win on that too. So any other Tiger thoughts before we move on to the notes, if you will?
Yeah. Nice to see Colt Keith get that first big league home run. That was pretty awesome. He's been great. The last couple of weeks, just like we told everybody that he would be, that he always adjusts. It always happens. It's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. yesterday's game was so crazy that we, like, Spencer Torkelson had a double and a big home run and I think another hit, and it was just kind of like the eighth story of that game.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, all right, well, good for him, but look at all this. So
Matt Verling had two home runs, and
One of them like 2.5 feet inside or something ridiculous. It was I think the fifth furthest inside pitch for a home run since they started counting that sort of stuff with Statcast.
Just a screamer.
I
thought Wenzel's cooled off a little bit, but continues to kind of do his thing. Seems like he's settled in there okay, and Riley's struggled the past couple weeks, but I still see him like kind of getting a little bit unlucky. Like, he's hit a lot of hard hit balls to the outfield and along the lines that just went foul. I think he's fine. I don't really see any problems there. Torkelson just doesn't seem to be able to really get it into gear though so far, so that's still a problem. But the pitching staff's been good. Maeda pitched a better game coming back. Flaherty, Olson, and Scoople still look awesome. And yeah, I don't know what happened to Mize the other day, but he had nothing on Sunday, so it really looked kind of bad. So I don't know, we'll see if he can turn that around.
Yeah, I mean, Cole Keith for the week went 7-for-18 six games, so it's just an indication that even with like he's walking less, he's freaking out a little more, but that's okay. I mean, when you're slugging, when you have an OPS over 1,000,
And the can Reese teach Mize to throw a good breaking ball? Well, the problem is that Reese has had 3,000 RPMs of spin on his slider and sometimes his curveball all the way through the minors. I mean, he's always had really nasty breaking balls. Casey has never had a good breaking ball. That was one of the knocks against him when he got drafted, was that, and the fact that his fastball was still just kind of mid. So the whole profile seemed to develop or to depend a lot on, you know, command and having a dominant splitter. And it's just impossible, I think, or at least really hard to judge how good a splitter is going to be against much better hitters. You know, it's just a hard pitch to kind of grade in college probably. So there we are. Lesson learned. If it doesn't have a dominant fastball or a dominant breaking ball, don't take his ass in the first round or two.
And then, you know, his fastball looked better early on, and it's just regressing pretty hard to the point where he added the sinker back again to get a different look. And it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, he got all that extension going again and was throwing 97 with, pretty good IVB and ride and everything. And it just has not really been the weapon for him. I keep screaming for the knuckle curve more. That's the only thing I can really think of to do. He's thrown some better splitters lately, so maybe there's a little more feel on that to come. But it's not like it's too hot to be any more than a back end guy right now.
Yeah.
Knuckle curves should be thrown more. I completely with you guys. By the way, the Tigers are 4-1 on these jerseys.
Yeah.
Okay. I got this jersey for free. Thank you to the Detroit Tigers. They did it as because I'm a social media influencer, whatever you want to call it. That's cool. You know, I know people don't like this. I get it. They don't like it. But did you see Toronto's today?
I like them a lot better than most. Yeah, I'll say that much for them.
Yeah, this right here. I don't know if you guys, has anybody seen Toronto's city jerseys?
You
did not see Toronto City jerseys, Chris. I will show you right now what City Connect jerseys the Toronto has right now. And they're not pretty. It looks something. Somebody mentioned this, and it does exactly what looks like what I think it looks like. You'll see it as soon as you'll see it, you'll fully see it. You can't unsee it.
Ooh.
Hmm.
What the hell?
Yeah, that is the, you know what it reminds me of? Fraser.
There's a lot of dark on dark. I'm just not that big of a fan of those combos, but.
And Tigers, they say they're just going to keep wearing them, right, till they lose. Yeah. But I don't think you can wear those on the road, can you? I guess there's nothing that says you can't, but I don't think teams wear them on the road.
Yeah, AJ said they were going to wear them Tuesday and Wednesday, so maybe that'll be as far as it goes. I don't know.
Yeah, there's just jerseys, gentlemen. But yeah, there's, yeah.
Oh, let's real quick talk about Manning being a reliever before we leave Detroit, too.
Yeah, right.
Just because there's a question about that.
There is, and somebody also mentioned the Cardinals City Connect. I did not have a chance to look at the City Connect jerseys for the Cardinals. Let me see this real quick before we move on.
The Lou on it.
The Lou?
The Lou.
Okay. Sure, I guess. Show it to the crowd, everybody here. The hats are terrible. I'm sorry. It looks okay. Okay, you're gonna give me crap about the Motor City. Those one, that's fine. But the Lou, does anybody call it? I mean, maybe I'm not from St. Louis, but anybody call it the Lou? When I think of the Lou, I think of the bathroom in England. Yeah,
yeah. Or I think of Lou Whitaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Lou Brock.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Lou Brock. Well, yeah, that's. It made me think of Lou Brock, and then it made me think of that story from the Deadspin writer about Lou Brock naked in the press box or press room and or the locker room and.
Oh yeah.
Dan is correct, though. This is the only time the Cardinals have worn a red jersey during their history, which is really weird to think that. But anyway, all right, the Lou, yeah, whatever. I don't know, but
I'm not a jersey or hat person, so I don't care. Everybody can wear whatever they want. Wear a nun habit out there. Go for it. I don't care.
Yeah. As you were, gentlemen. All right, so we had a question, correct?
Yeah, from was it Mitchell Stancic? Just about can Manning be converted? Would Manning work in the bullpen? I think they should try this now because I just don't think unless Manning is out there throwing 97 that the rest of the stuff is going to play that well. And we've been trying to get him to throw hard and just air it out for a long time. This is the way to do it. And I kind of start to feel like they don't need him as much as a fifth starter because I think Herter's been pretty solid for the most part. And they've got the other options there coming. So I'm not quite so paranoid about not having backup if would something go wrong. So I would like to see them try it just because they kind of need something like that right now. But it's just kind of a measure where Matt Manning is that I don't know if any of us think he's going to be that much better there either, but he's got to try something different because this isn't, you know, he could be this guy and just bounce around as a sixth starter for a few more years, but and maybe some teams would take a chance on him because of the extension and, you know, past history and things like that. But that slider just isn't very good. And until he's thrown a lot harder, I just don't think it's going to be. So, you know, he's developed the splitter and, you know, I've seen some good ones, but there's still no consistency there. And I'm just fed up. It's just been too goddamn long, guys. He's like 26 or something almost.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's funny. I haven't even considered putting Matt Manning in the bullpen. But yeah, why the hell not? Go for it. Like somebody was asking, you know, what's the difference between Mize and Manning? And I think Mize, you know, stuff wise is not all that different. I think Mize has just a little bit more aptitude and compete, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe just get Manning out there angry, throwing as hard as he can. That's all we wanted ever, I think.
Yeah. Competitive juice up where he's just like angry and like, you know, going after people and you just don't see it. He's just cruising in stoic mode at 93, 94 all the time still.
Yeah, maybe he takes it like maybe you just think of like him when we hear Jim Leland yell at him, like just that, just alone, just going, hey, stuff from the basketball.
So I think we have different recollections of what Leland was mad about there.
Okay.
Although it doesn't really matter. Well, I thought he was complaining that the fastball was working well and then he threw the slider and got hit hard. And he was like, what the hell? You're getting outs with the fastball. Why do you bother throwing that slider? I thought that's what he was complaining about. Wow. But then also,
because I thought he was talking about like he wanted him to throw. Maybe that was the case. But by the way, here's a fun stat for you why Manning would work better out of the bullpen. Second time through the order, teams this year have hit 318 off of him. Third time through the order, it's even worse. 379 with a slugging percentage. It goes from 386 second time through the order to 656. Sorry, 655 with two home runs. So that'd be something to be said about that. Also, we have a first ever donation that I'm actually going to play the person who donated it. So thank you, Dan Hasty.
Dan Hasty?
Exquisite.
Ah,
nice.
I just got a notification on my phone. I looked down and it said, you received, you know, and then Dan Hasty. So Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Exquisite.
And also, I'm going to play you some...
Now that you've paid us, we'll come out and watch a Whitecaps game.
Off the Frickers building.
I know what you guys are doing. You're just waiting for Clark and McGonigal to get there. You refuse to go there until they're promoted.
It's not here nor there. Come on.
A lot of it is me. Like, ordinarily, we'd have been out there several times there, but my life situation has changed enough to where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. We talked about it before. We could talk about it later. But they ended up being a lot more interesting this year than I expected. So probably should have been out there by now. But that's just the way it goes.
Guilty, not to mention, too, it's just between the day job. Actually, my day job's actually been pretty crazy. But I like what Sean said here. Manning's a non-tender guy. He's Adam Bonero. I don't know, man. Bonero. Oof. I mean, it's a weird comp, but no, I mean, no, but jokes aside, one thing I did notice in Manning's start in Toledo is his velocity. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. When we saw him in Toledo, his velocity was going down as the game went on, right? Like, just
that was, yeah, it was opening day, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think
he was maintaining velocity. That was something I went back through my log earlier.
Yeah, you were,
I was
charging his pitches that day, so I didn't, as much.
Yeah, as it went on, the velocity wasn't maintaining. So I think there might be something to be said about that, actually. So
the living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.